Stop me if you've heard this winter weather ghost story before. Three spectral figures haunt a stingy old man over the course of one very long Christmas Eve. Sound hauntingly familiar? That's right, it's Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Our next guest says, forget Halloween. Wintertime was historically the prime time for tales of haunted sightings and strange superstitions. You can join in. Do you have a local wintertime legend, story, folklore, or ghost story you'd like to share from your neck of the woods? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Chad Lewis is Eau Claire's own paranormal researcher, author, and lecturer. His books include Lumberjack Legends of the North Woods. He's going to give a talk about winter folklore and legends later this month outside the Sun Prairie Library. We've got him in advance of that event. Chad, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy December to you.
And to you. Now, before we get into some specific legends, Chad, I didn't know this. Wintertime historically was the time for our legends and spooky stories.
Most people wrongly believe that All Hallows Eve and Halloween is the spookiest season of the year. But when you start digging into the darkest days of the year, you find that those legends can't hold a candle to the winter superstitions, customs, and beliefs that are out there.
So why? Why do we love winter, or why did we used to love winter for our spooky stories?
Especially for those of us in the north, winter was the hardest time of the year. Darkness surrounded us, and in that darkness, we believed that spirits and evil creatures were lurking everywhere. It was a time when everything died for the season, and we weren't sure it was going to come back in fruitful amounts the following season. So we had to do all these rituals for not only our benefit, our financial survival, but also our sanity.
And I suppose we didn't have TVs, so we were stuck inside with friends and family and had to do something to keep us entertained.
Imagine being snowed into your one-room cabin with eight people living there. No indoor plumbing, no electricity. Heat was by fire only. And you might not leave for several weeks. It was too cold, only to get firewood. Today, we've never had it easier with, you know, Wisconsin Public Radio at our fingertips, Netflix, electricity, indoor plumbing. But yet, we think winter is very hard, which it is, but step back 100 years and most of us might not have survived.
Now, let's get into some specific legends and superstitions too. Now, we haven't had big, huge snows yet through most of the state. Knock on wood, I guess. There's a superstition. But I understand, Chad, there are a lot of superstitions associated with bringing about snowy weather. What kind of things are out there?
I wish I would have known this when I was in grade school, but there are things that you can do to help bring about a snow day for your school. Everything from putting a spoon under your pillow when you sleep, that will entice more snow to fall on your town. Wearing your pajamas inside out and backwards would bring more snow. Dumping ice cubes into your toilet, one ice cube for every inch of snow that you want in your area. So kids would partake in these throughout history, trying to bring about snow days.
I've done that pajama thing, but that was just on accident, I think. And I don't know that that was really snow. I don't know if I made it snow, though. Have you tried it, Chad?
I have tried it, and obviously it's hit and miss. But it's meant to encourage snow, not necessarily bring it about, but to help show your respect for the season and just give it that nudge you need to reach the barrier of a school closing.
All right. We got a lot of holidays, solstices, Christmas, New Year's Eve coming up in Wisconsin. What are some of your favorite holiday pieces of folklore or legends?
The holidays are surrounded by customs and legends. One that both applies to Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve is opening a door or window at midnight. For Christmas, it's to allow the Christmas season, even if you don't celebrate the holiday, allow the Christmas spirit into your home at midnight on Christmas Eve. The same thing for New Year's Eve, but in that regard, it's not only allowing the new year to come in and for you to be prosperous and healthy, but allow all the bad stuff of the previous year to exit. And of course, in 2021, there's a lot of that negativity that you're going to want to shoo out of your house.
We're talking to folklore and paranormal researcher Chad Lewis about some of his favorite winter legends and folklore from Wisconsin and beyond. If you have a local wintertime legend that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear about it at 800-642-1234. A seasonal superstition that you hold personally or maybe you grew up with, 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about winter legends, folklore, and frozen ghost stories with paranormal researcher and folklore researcher, author and lecturer from Eau Claire, Chad Lewis. Now, Chad, we focused on Wisconsin some, but you look at legends all over the world. What are some of the most far-flung ones you've encountered?
Christmas season and winter season, I love the old country celebrating Krampus, the Christmas monster, where he would accompany St. Nicholas. And while St. Nicholas would give candy, coins, and treats to children who left their shoes out for him, Krampus was a little bit different. He was Santa's enforcer, if you will, where he would bring a switch and whip the kids who had been naughty. And he looks like some demon out of Hollywood with a long tongue and goat-like hooves and huge horns on his head. And he would whip the naughty children. And believe it or not, people used to send holiday greeting cards to one another with a depiction of Krampus abusing children, saying, "Greetings from Krampus. Hope you have a wonderful holiday season." And for hundreds of years, people would send these out. And it's a tradition I continue to do to this very day to a lot of my probably not very happy friends and family.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hi.
Hey, I got a really weird thing. My wife is from the UP. She's a military brat, so she's all over the country, but she mostly spent her time in the UP. So when we had kids, I said, "Well, St. Nick's coming tonight." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Really? St. Nick?" I said, "You can't like let the kids not do St. Nick." I said, "They'll get picked on at school." And she had never heard of it before, so I thought that was really strange.
Now, St. Nick or Santa, in, like even if you said Santa Claus?
Oh, well, I call it St. Nick, but yeah. It always comes, you know.
And just, I got to ask, is she from like a Christian background and just a family that didn't observe Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah. Her mother is extremely religious, so I'm really surprised. But she just never heard of it. They never did it before.
Interesting. Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Now, I know, Chad, some of the first anti-Christmas movements in the United States were the Puritans, who thought it was too much foo-for-all, I think, to go with a Christian holiday. So that's, in American history, his story, Nick's story, isn't necessarily that out there.
It's not. Although it's rare these days where whether you call him Santa Claus, Father Christmas, Saint Nick, he's known around the world by numerous names. Even those who don't adhere to the celebration of the holiday, it's the most iconic portion of the winter that most people are familiar, at least with today's version of Santa Claus with the red and white trimmed clothing, although in the olden days he was seen more of wearing green clothes and more of a jolly little elf. But today I think he's become bigger than just someone who delivers presents to children. He's the bringer of hope, the bringer of inspiration, that guiding force to bring cultures from around the world together. And that's something that he hadn't done in the past.
Now, you don't just look at legends and supernatural. You look at also stories from Wisconsin history, a lot of shipwreck history in the Great Lakes. Can you remind us of the story of the Christmas tree shipwreck?
Years ago, in the 1800s, early 1900s, a captain would go to Lake Michigan up in the north, bring down Christmas trees all the way through Wisconsin down to Chicago to the families down there. And it was in 1912 when they encountered terrible weather on Lake Michigan, and they set off with their ship full of Christmas trees, trying to make it down for Christmas time, and their ship went missing. And for years, nobody knew what was happening, what happened to it. Finally, they discovered it at the bottom of Lake Michigan near Two Rivers, Wisconsin, back in 1971. And since that time that divers went down there, people would see a phantom ship matching that description carrying Christmas trees out on Lake Michigan on stormy nights. And it's so fitting because last night on Wisconsin public television, they had the shipwrecks documentary, which featured the Christmas tree as well.
And I don't want to let you go, Chad. That was a little ghost story related to that one. Do you have a favorite seasonal winter ghost story you could share with us?
I do. I love ghost stories, and Christmas was the time, the winter, and it was a belief that when you sat around the fire telling ghost stories, that if you did not see your shadow on the wall, it meant that you were not going to survive the next year. So I can imagine families scrambling to make sure everybody had a position where a fire would cast a shadow on the walls. And that's just one of the many things that would cause your death in this season. Everything from sitting under a pine tree on Christmas Eve. If you hear angels singing, it means you will see angels very shortly.
And Chad, big picture, why do you love these stories and legends so much? And not just studying them yourself, but sharing them with others.
For me, it's the bigger picture. When I'm hanging up lights on the house or a tree, I feel like this is something that's been done for thousands of years when people put out wood and candles and fire to ward off the darkness. It really makes you feel part of something bigger when you're looking at the night sky in the dark, cold winter, knowing that thousands of years ago, people were doing the same thing, the same customs. And I think that gives comfort and solace for a lot of people, especially in a time we need it.
And Chad, do you reckon you're going to get a visit from Santa or Krampus this year? I don't know how your year's been.
Well, I have no doubt that I'm probably on Krampus's side more. And Krampus comes the night of December 5th into December 6th. Ooh. So the good news is you haven't missed it. But Rob, the bad news is that only gives you a couple days to turn your behavior around.
All right. Thanks for the warning, Chad. I will clean up my act. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Keep an eye out.
That's Chad Lewis, paranormal researcher, author, and lecturer from Eau Claire. We talked to him today about some of his favorite wintertime legends and scary stories ahead of a talk he's going to give on the subject later this month. You can catch him in the park across from the Sun Prairie Library on Saturday, December 11th, starting at 5 p.m. The event's free. All donations will go to support the library there.